This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
The 1895 podcast, the official podcast, Shelburne Football Club. We are brought to you by Go Loud. And as always, I'm joined by the brilliant Ben Cleary. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Duty. How are we?
I'm good. I'm actually having a good Monday, relatively stress-free Monday. How has yours been? Well, you've had a far better Monday than me.
I have had the best Monday in terms of Mondays because I had the distinct pleasure, the great honour of having our wonderful league trophy in work with me today. And I went in. I set up a thing that says Shelburne Champions of Ireland. I put a lot of photos from the year of players, us, and I left it sitting on a table all day and gloated.
In true Shelburne fashion, might I add.
Yeah, like I wasn't in any way discreet or humble, or there was kind of nothing there, and I just had a really good time. Was really great to do that. Fair play. I think Darren deserves a lot of credit there, and Niall Fitz as well for facilitating that. It was really good getting into the school. I'm very lucky where I am. I'm in the secondary school, and next door there's two primary schools, the boys and the girls. So they are actually able to come in as well when I had a period off, so they could all get photos with it. So just really, really nice to do.
So an awful lot of young kids in a proper Shelburne area getting to see the League of Ireland trophy.
Exactly.
Doing God's work, Ben.
Yeah, someone has to do it, you know. But it was it was unbelievable. It was really funny to see the rivalry there. With my principal came in, like, first thing, barged into my room, was like, "Where's the trophy?" I'm like, "It's right there." I'm like, "You wouldn't be the biggest football fan in the world." He's like, "Great. I just need to get a photo with it so I can send it to this group chat and gloat that we're the first ones to have it."
Hang on a second. He walked into the room and didn't notice the trophy. It's hardly fucking like the ashes.
No, but I think he just, like, my desk is, you come in and it's a little bit to the right, so you're saying it as he was walking in. And he's like, "Where's the trophy?" "Oh, it's right there."
There's this frantic, dishevelled principal rushing into the room.
No, he just picks it up then. He's like, "Okay, take my picture with it." I'm like, okay. So I do, and he's like, "I'm going to send it off and gloat that we have it before." And then he started listing out skills.
What to say? Look, everyone's gloating. This is what it's all about. This is what we haven't been able to do for so long. It's just glow. Look, maybe not for the last little while, but still. A lot of people, I asked this question actually. Do you stop being the champions once the league starts? Once the following league campaign starts? Like, are you no longer the champions at that point? I don't know. I think it's a dodgy one. But,
I mean,
we haven't won the fucking thing since 2006. So
yeah, we're obviously going to over-celebrate, but it was really good to do. It was good to see. Especially from the younger kids, the massive, massive interest in the League of Ireland. Like, when the primary school kids were able to come in, like, they're actually doing Shell's chants as they were coming in. And it's mad because...
All PC, I hope.
Yes, yes, all the good ones. They're spelling out Shell's, don't worry. Nothing too bad, but...
Once the old Robbie Doyle song didn't come out, but... Oh, there's a few people will know what I'm talking about there. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
It is great to see, though, with the younger kids, how important it is for them and how it's now probably a part of most of their Friday nights.
Yeah, good. And that's what you want to see. The demand is well and truly there. We've seen the sellouts in Talca. It's been a great time. Look, speaking of a great time, Saturday... A women's Premier Division side travelled to, I referred to it as the surface of the moon earlier, for a game against the LR Waves. A comprehensive 4-0 win, back-to-back 4-0 wins. Ben, I hate to do this, but we have to start with the pitch.
Like,
How is that safe?
It actually, I think I saw a screenshot somewhere on Twitter, and someone was like, "The wave's taking the name." Literally, that ball is bobbling everywhere.
Like if you put an ankle into that,
But again, how have they let it get that bad? Like that. To be fair to UCD, that pitch was always like one of those where you're never going to UCD for a good game, but the pitch is always usually decent enough. Like that pitch was a mess. The centre circle was destroyed before a ball was kicked.
Yeah, and I know, like, look, the rugby team play on it out there, and it's look, DLR probably a very little input into it, but just outrageous. And I know, look, same for both teams, rah rah rah, all the usual cliches. I actually pity DLR having to play on it.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's ridiculous. If I was one of those players, I'd say here, I'd rather go down and play in Kilboggett, in Cabinteely or somewhere, and actually be able to play on a half D. Like, a public park isn't that bad.
No.
Which is like, bizarre.
Like, I've seen Albert College in better shape, and that can be rough.
Yeah, it's just, it's mental. But look, nevertheless, a 4-0 win. I have written down here a professional job, and that's always what it's got to come down to, going to kind of a pitch like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head there. It was a professional job. One thing I think I really enjoyed seeing is seeing the goals flowing again. I think last season, like, obviously there is a bit of a settling in period, but like, I think I was so used to seeing the season before with obviously Noel King, there was a lot of 4-5, 6-0 victories, and there was a lot of big score lines. So it's great to see the big goals back. Like, back-to-back 4-0s is something else.
It's good going. Yeah, it's definitely one of those. I think if you're looking around at results or that, you'd probably look at that one and go, oof, like back-to-back 4-0s. And look, people talk opposition, all the rest of it, irrelevant. And I would say more impressive scoring 4 on that bog. Goals obviously coming through Leah Doyle, McKenzie, Anthony got the second one, which I don't know whether he's seen this or not, Ben.
Yeah.
There, somebody in the question box, and they are closely connected to the women's Premier Division team, have said, "Watch out for the bobble." Now, Ben, we've been here before. Wait, do players mean it? Is that what they were trying to do? Is it not?
Nah, she meant that.
Was there a bobble?
I don't know if there's a bobble, but she 100% meant
it. It's hard to distinguish between what was a bobble and what was like meant to be done on Saturday all across the way. But yeah, I don't know if that's somebody on a little bit of a wind up, maybe. But harsh.
I don't know. She hits it that well that I don't care. I can bobble all at once as long as it flies in. I think as well as like you said, it's a professional performance, but especially in the build-up for a lot of the goals, we do kind of play to the pitch in a way. Like, there is a lot of over-the-tops. There is a good few searching balls in there. So it's great to see that side.
We're getting too good at this, Ben, because I literally have written down, kept the ball alive very well. And by that, I mean, like, if a cross or whatever was cleared, we were just helping it back into the box.
Yeah.
It really felt like one of those ones, look. And there was little passages in it. I mean, there was bits of build-up. Pearl had a couple of opportunities where she kind of drove into the middle and stuff like that. It wasn't a complete, like, let's just go full Sunday league. Just turn them. Like, it wasn't that type of performance, but I do think we just, very professional, get the ball into their half, into their box, and let's see what comes of it. And look, 4 goals later, Pearl Slattery, of course, the evergreen Pearl on the score sheet again. And Kate Mooney rounded it off in stoppage time. So,
to be fair to Kate Mooney in stoppage time with that goal, she wasn't going to give the keeper any chance of kind of recovering. Talk about the roof of the net.
Yeah. She get that thing in there, yeah.
It's like, you're not saving that one. Look, maybe a few notes to be taken.
Yeah, it's funny, I was in Talca, obviously, for the Rovers game, and with Rovers snatching it late on, it was felt really doom and gloom, and it was a real, because obviously so few losses, the loss last year and everyone talking about there's so little room for error, and then the first game you lose. But like all of a sudden, the way things have gone, like third in the table, 6 points, you're a point off at Lone Rovers. Like, doesn't look bad all of a sudden, does it?
No, I think probably.
And the top scorers in the league.
Probably because of how tight it was last season and what it came down to. I think you look at that and you look at maybe the margin of error last season where it was very, very minimal. After the first result, you're like, oh no, there is that sense of doom and gloom, but I wouldn't be worried. I think we said it last year, and I think we'll probably echo it again this season. Like, players are getting better. Standard is increasing across the board, so if I don't think it'll be a season like that again.
Where no, I can't see
losses at the top. Like, I think people are there to take points. Like, teams are getting a lot stronger. The caliber of players there, the caliber of player coming up through the academies is there to be seen as well.
Here. The old enemy coming up on Saturday, Ben, P Mount. A game that is generally steeped in drama and a bit of needle, fair to say. Does more pressure come on to this one because of the defeat against Rovers in that first game at home?
No, I don't think so. I think that was kind of put to rest after the first big 4-0. I don't think you dwell on those kind of results. I don't think you can. I don't think you have time to. I think the last two performances in particular have shown that they're not going to dwell on that. It's just business as usual. We'll do what we're here to do. Professional, as you said.
Correct. Bring on the peas, says I. Well done, Leah Doyle and Avian Clancy getting into the League of Ireland Team of the Week. And I actually would like to mention Leah Doyle because every time I see her, she is extremely impressive. And sometimes playing that position, you can go a little bit under the radar, but she should get all the plaudits because she is an excellent, excellent player. So, we had no Friday match, obviously, Ben. International break.
Boo.
And for the first time this season, Ben, we are going to preview the men's game.
Bring back previews.
Yeah, bring back previews. We just always go so far over time and it gets to the end. You go, shit, we haven't even talked about the next game. Or the last game. Or, yeah, we haven't talked about anything. Sligo away. Always difficult. It's not on a Saturday, which is throwing an awful lot of people off, myself included. But is this, talking about pressure and stuff like that, I know it's so early in the season, but is there a bit of pressure gathering?
I feel like you always kind of have to, like, feel some kind of pressure in every game. Like, when I say that, I mean, like, it's always easy to get up for a Dublin derby or, you know, when you get to the tail end of the season, one of those big decider games. Like, it's always easy to get up for occasions, but this is an occasion, I think, as mad as that sounds.
Yeah, I always find there's always an extra bit of hunger in these games. After the break, I think everyone's extra giddy kind of to get back. Look, Sligo have struggled. That's kind of clear for everyone to see. They've played 6, a win, a draw, 4 losses. They conceded 13 goals, which is pretty grim reading if you're a Sligo fan. But on the flip side, they've only failed to score in 2 of those games. So, like,
the threat is there.
Yeah, it's definitely there. And I don't know what it is about Sligo teams. They always feel like they're only a result or two away from kind of really putting something together. But I would be very hopeful coming off the back of the break. Look, actually, everyone has kind of talked about the break. How important is that? Like, that it came at the time it did. So many times in the past we've cursed that break coming, but felt like we needed it this time.
Yeah, I think so. If anything, it's just a chance to mentally reset. And I think, as it was said before the break, I think there was probably a time for people to chat, leaders to step up, people to talk. And the manager echoed something similar to that, and same with Ali Coote in their interviews. I think because of that, the break comes at a good time, and it's just a chance to kind of refresh. And you know, you have those players that are out with little injuries. Hopefully, that extra week has done them well, and they're closer to match fitness. And I think we'd be doing well to get a few bodies back.
Where, when you look at it just on paper, when you look at it simply, straightforward, no trying to put positive spins or anything on things, we're without winning four. Is that something John Russell's using in the dressing room?
I think so. I think it's probably a motivating factor if you just look at that. Like, and if you're not using it, you're probably a little bit silly. Like, he's probably looking at that. He's looking at results. He's probably looking at games and saying, look, they're there for the taking. I think it's definitely one they'll be up for, because if you look at their results, like, they haven't been, apart from like Drogheda away, they haven't been completely outclassed in the games they've played. Like, I think results don't really reflect the ability they have. So I think it's definitely one they're going to be up for. They're like, it's no easy task, especially going there.
No, I have particular, not concern. Look, jeez, we're fucking, I'm getting bogged down on concern for opposition players. But Will Fitzgerald, he's got 3 assists. He's always looked a danger. Anytime we played him, I always look at him and say, I just wouldn't mind signing him. But I get the feeling, just by the manager's comments after the Cork game and by Ali's comments after the Cork game, that I don't think it's going to be about them at all. I think it's a purely Shelburne thing. It'll be about what we do, what we bring to the table, because it hasn't been good enough. And look, we've had spells and games, and think, like, me and you have come on here and said, oh, you know, we were way better in the second half, and you always kind of try and put a positive spin on it, but it hasn't been good enough. For the players we have, for the ability we have, like those last two, particularly the Drogheda and Cork games, just not good enough. You need a full 90 minutes, and I hope, I don't want to say I expect, but I do hope for a full 90-minute performance on Friday.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much got it spot on there. Like, it happened some points the season, last season. I didn't expect it maybe at this stage of the season, but you're leaving 45 minutes of a game out there. You're always going to have an uphill battle then.
Yeah, don't give teams oxygen. Wasn't that the line?
But that's it. Like, if you give them anything, they're going to take it. Like, especially the early goals, the silly goals, like, there's the stuff that's just so uncharacteristically not us. And, like, yeah, look, teams are getting results, but the other end of that, we're kind of helping them in a way.
Like, it's that old thing. It's like us. We did it to teams, like, so many times during Duffer's tenure so far, of teams might give up something, or we'll, you know, score like maybe a scrappy goal or nick something off a set piece or that, and then just gives you fuel to be like, yep, I'll sit behind the ball now for 80 minutes, no problem, and you're not going to break us down. Just can't do it. It's just giving teams impetus, and it's just very unlike us, I think. Look, Damien O'Reilly, Alan Fraser are both on asking basically for us to give our starting 11s what we would go with on Friday. I think we should both be given lifetime season tickets if either of us do guess the starting 11. Because anytime we try to do this, something always goes wrong, or something rogue is thrown in, or along them lines. But
and I just if everyone was... I just want to point out as well that, like, we, unfortunately, we don't get team news earlier than anyone else. We don't know who's good to go. Don't really know who's trained. It's just... when that team news goes out at 5-6 o'clock on a Thursday, whenever it does go out, we see it the exact same time as everyone else.
Also, you've mentioned it, right? How legit is managers giving team news, do you think? Like, are you ever actually getting the truth? And I'm not just talking about Shells. Like, when we played Rovers, Stephen Bradley was, yeah, Jack Byrne is back fit now, back in the squad, and then he wasn't even on the bench.
I think so, like, you're always going to have, like, you see it a lot. They all kind of have to say something to get them thinking, because especially if you look at the Stephen Bradley one, if you're planning for a Jack Byrne, you're wasting your time because you're not going to be there. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm calling for a blanket ban on managers having to give team news the week of a game.
Oh,
It's redundant. Like, what's the fucking point? In theory, Duffer could come out on Thursday and say, Conor Cairns has moved to the Bahamas. Sean Boyd has taken up a job as a builder. And Mark Coyle is...
I was going to say Harry Wood has gone to work in Siam Park or one of those water parks.
Yeah, and Mark Coyle has moved back to Donegal to play for Finn Harps. Like, it's not... None of it has to be true. It's just... I just find it pointless. And I know it's... Look, it gives you something to talk about in group chats or whatever. So, oh, see, such and such manager said such and such player is injured, but...
It's also for, like, media to just do their match preview, which is essentially just...
Copy and paste what the lead manager said.
What both managers have said. And that's it, really. That's actually exactly what it is.
I got it, like, back in the day. I think they used to do previews. I don't even think you were born when teletext was going on, Ben, were you? But I think they used to do, like, previews on teletext and that, which was grand, because...
What's a teletext? You know,
not everyone had internet and all. Like, you're going back years for all that type of crack, but... It feels very redundant to me. Anyway, that's a tangent. Starting 11s. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I will go first if you want.
You've lashed away.
Do I need to give numbers or am I okay just to... Like, I'm not auditioning for...
It's not 7:43 on a match night, Ben. I think you can just rattle through the names there. I will take PPS number and middle names if you're offering them.
Number one, Conor Cairns. then I have Conor Cairns, Gano, Paddy Barrett, Cam and Chuck. I have Ali Coote, Mark Coyle, Kerr, Harry Wood, Meepo and Boydie.
Right, for the sake of good podcasting, I'm glad we don't have the same starting 11. There is a slight difference in my one, so thank God, because usually we do this, we have the exact same thing. It's always wrong anyway. I'll let the riveting podcast.
I changed mine, I'd say, up until about 10 minutes before you recorded, so I'm interested to hear if we would have been the same if I hadn't changed. Go on.
Yeah, and again... We don't know anything. Like, we have no inside track. I know people seem to think we do.
Or if you're anyone in the opposition, we know everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I've gone with Conor Cairns, Gano, Paddy Barrett, Sam Bone, and Cam.
Yeah.
Again, this presuming everyone's fit. McEnroy and Coyle. Coote and Wood, and then Meepo and Boydie. That's what
I'm not messing. That's actually what I had till I changed it. I wonder if Sam is fit or not. And I actually would like to see him back in the side if he is fit. I think Cam on that side has looked a little bit stronger. Obviously, Chuck is coming in. He's actually done really well coming in, so it's very harsh to say Cam has looked stronger, but I just think Cam is very direct. He does it, kind of runs straight at people and causes a bit of bother, so I think he does really well in that role. As well as that, he's a cracking centre half. It's very hard. Again, it's a little bit of that. You don't really know where he's best. He just kind of gives you a little bit of everything in both positions.
Yeah, well, to go full Rafa Benitez on it, the facts are, Sam Bowen went off injured against Rovers, and since he went off injured, we haven't won a game. And I think with Sam, I think because he had been injured, he kind of went under the radar. Like, he's a good, good defender and a good player. And I just felt I preferred the look of Cam wider. Same as what you're saying. I just think he's so direct. And we've scored a ridiculous amount of goals from crosses. So many goals have come from balls across the box. And I think Cam offers that. Offers real quality. Not, and I'm not saying Chuck doesn't, but I think Cam's a bit more off the cuff. Like, I feel like Cam will just launch a ball into the box. Whereas I think Chuck is a bit more in that kind of pattern, and we do it this way, and we don't just put a ball at risk by flinging it into the box type thing. I think Cam is a bit more, I think Cam is a bit more freedom, if that makes sense. I don't know whether, like, Chuck is playing a certain way because he feels like that's the way he has to play. I don't know whether I'm, that's coming across.
No, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I just love Cam as a fullback. Don't know what it is, I just think that's where he's at his best. And having Sam to come back into that position, because, as I said, the facts don't lie. Since Sam Bowen went off injured, we haven't won a game. So, I don't know, it's hard not to put two and two together. I think Boydie is probably a must start for me. The only issue with Boydie is he's one yellow away from a suspension already. So that would obviously put him out of Pat's away, isn't it? It's the following week.
No.
So that would...
Is it? Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Pat's away and Bowes at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I would... But then you can't really look too far ahead and say, well, we want to keep Boydie for Pat's away because we need to be winning games. You know, but I do think Boydie is a kind of a nailed-on starter. But even now with those two 11s, obviously, like, Chuck misses out on mine, Sam Bowen misses out on yours. Like, you're looking at a bench then. Like, Lewis Temple, John O'Sullivan, Ellis Chapman, Ryan Tullock, Ryan O'Kane, John Evan Martin, Caffrey. JJ Lunny, Evan Caffrey. Not starting. Like, that's... like. Fairness to Ev, he scored twice. He's our top scorer, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it,
well, again, I think
he hasn't been mentioned, but yeah, at the same time, he could come in for anyone there. He's interchangeable with any of those players. The only one in that kind of midfield area who I think has to play is Kerry McInroy, just because he's probably been our best player this year.
Yeah, I'd agree. Definitely up there. I think kind of just makes us tick over. And he's kind of liable to put that little ball through and kind of open up a defence. He kind of has that quality about him, I think.
And Kyler's probably a must start for me as well. I just
the energy, you know, everything. Yeah, yeah,
he gives you something that not many midfielders gives you. He's just so bleeding aggressive.
Exactly. But that's... That's really big. I think an aggressive start to the game is important considering how we've started games recently.
And the curious case of Meepo Ben, he's come in for a little bit of flack the last couple of games. I think even anyone flack after whenever it is, six league games is harsh, but I obviously don't know Meepo personally, but he just strikes me as somebody who is so confidence-driven. Like, we spoke to him after the Watford game when he scored, and he was just beaming.
He was buzzing. But he's also, incredibly brutally honest. Like, he just seems so happy to be there and so happy to score and make that impact. And I think you are right. I think it's very much a confidence thing, but that'll come. Like, I think, as you said, we're six games in. I don't think it's time to hit panic stations now if he's not scoring every week.
No, that I wouldn't be panicking about anything. Daniel was on in the question box to ask, How does Duffer get the best out of Meepo? Is it the fact he's playing up top with somebody else? Would he be better off the wing or as a number 10? We just don't seem to be getting the best out of him at the moment. I think him up there with Boyd is the best. I think that's the best way you're going to...
I don't know. I think the same people, like, you see it a lot. It's not just the one comment. People are like, oh, we're not getting the best out of him. But those complaints weren't there 2-3 games in because he was doing really well. He was making a nuisance of himself. Again, really positive play. Very direct, kind of running at people, taking shots. Like something we just hadn't been used to. And now, again, as you said, maybe it's a little knock in confidence, but I don't know why you'd take him out of that when he's been praised so heavily playing like that.
Yeah. Part of me wonders as well, talking about him being, he looks to be a kind of confidence player. And who's not, in fairness? Like, who's not a confidence player? But he, would he be better up there on his own? Would he be better with the kind of being the main man, if you know what I mean? Like a one-up top job and it's all down to him. Because like we've seen, he just wants to shoot on sight, and like the manager's open, he said he loves it. He thinks it's a great asset to have. Like, does the two up top, if we're being brutally honest, really suit?
I think so, yeah. I really do think it does. I think... I suppose when you look at it, it can be easy. Are you all right? Are you dying on the other side of this?
Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry about me. Just dying on the other side of the podcast.
Sorry, I thought I pressed the mute button there. Don't mind me.
No, I think it's just... I think it's... People are panicking and there's no need for it. I think... It's very, very positive when he plays with Boydie and you can run off him. You can also, like, there's been a few times where it's gone straight from Connor. It's been knocked on and Meepo's already making the run in behind. It's happened 2 or 3 times. I think it's just, I think that kind of suits him where he can get the ball in his stride. He can run and make a strike at goal. I don't know. Just would rather see that. I think we're a much better team with Boydie in it. So I can't see a world where you get him and Boydie and him unless you're playing him on the wing. But again, then who else are you taking out?
That's fair. And again, like, we both have Wood in our team. Like, Harry got the hook. Do you know what? In the Cork game. So, does he? But I'd be very surprised if Ali doesn't play, just because I think he played really well against Cork. He looked the most likely to make something happen. But again, like, even JJ, like, is JJ terribly unlucky to miss out getting into that team?
I think
he's probably been a victim of Kerr just starting really, really well.
You can make a case for a lot of people. Like, Evan Caffrey is not near your team. I didn't pick him to start. He's our top scorer. Like, I think we're very, very blessed with the players we do have. There is a lot of strength in depth there, and it's something that will probably stand us as the season progresses. But, like, you're looking at the players that are missing out, and it's tough, but that also just means that you have competition, and it's been echoed an awful lot. Competition is the best coach. Like, if you are...
Is that a problem for us, though? Because like, there's never... Since Duffer's come in, it always has felt like he's building, like, step by step. He's trying to get there. I know the manager's mentioned before about, like, Rovers or a year, whatever it is, of their kind of... their plan. And we're obviously a good bit behind that. And to win a league, being that far behind, quote-unquote, is something special. But... is it a bedding in period for everyone now that we do have proper strength and depth? Like, it's not just a group of young lads coming on. It's like, these are proper, like, a lot of these lads would get into most starting 11s in the country. So is it weird for everyone, like, including the likes of, like, Coyler didn't start last week, JJ hasn't been starting as regularly as he'd like to. Same with Evan Caffrey. Like, I'm sure John O'Sullivan would want more game time. Like, is it just having an effect on everyone, or am I overcomplicating things?
I don't know if you'd be overcomplicating things. I think you looked at the group, it's probably changed a lot. I know that's a bit silly to say when you consider the core is there, but it's different dynamics. People interact in different ways. People react to things different ways. And you have to remember, a lot of these players are being coached by the manager and the staff for the first time. So it's probably taken a little bit of getting used to, but I think there might be a little bit of that in it, where it's just people need to get used to what's going on. Like, there is a little bit of difference there. It's not the same. It's not the same group. It's not, like, there was times during the season last year where your starting 11 was nearly nailed on every week. Barring injuries, suspensions, or one or two other factors, but like, there's real strength, there's real quality there this season. So I think it's just a case of when you are called upon, you do your absolute best to stay on that pitch. And I think that's probably one thing Ali has done really well and has acquitted himself really well. When he has come in, he's come off the bench, he's looked sharp. He's looked like he's going to make an impact. He has real quality about him. And then he gets that reward, he gets that start, and he looks to continue that form.
Especially for Ali, I think the type of player he is, I think I asked him this actually in the interview as well, the type of player he is, I'm sure, not that he needs to be starting games, but I look at him as like a constant kind of cog there. He's just constantly keeping us moving and making little passes in the final third. But I think Ali could be a massive, massive player for us this year. I get that feeling. We did get a good few listener questions in this week. This first one was from Ian. He said, "Lads, my son was a mascot a while back, so I got to be in the tunnel/dressing room area before the game. And I'm just wondering, do you know who is the best at darts? I've seen a few of the lads having a throw." The answer to that, definitely from my point of view, Ben, is I haven't got a clue. Who is the best darts player in the group? But what I am going to do is, Ben, do you have inside info? There's inside info coming. Ben has the inside info. Pull your chairs forward. Get closer to your speakers. Ben has the inside track.
I wouldn't exactly call it inside info or anything major, but I had a chat with Sam Bone a few weeks ago, because I was just telling him I got a new dart set up, and we were just chatting, and they have the dart set up in the house, and he's like, "They got spanked 5-0 by Ellis Chapman the other day." It's like, 5-0? Really? You couldn't win a single leg? And he's like, no, Ellis is unbelievable. So I'd be very curious to see how good Ellis Chapman is, and I would absolutely love to give him a game.
Oh, imagine the shame. Imagine the shame of getting spanked, though. I could never interview anyone ever again. I really couldn't. But it begs the question, Ben, take Ellis out of the equation, who do you think, like, who do you just get the vibe off that, yeah, I'd say he's good at darts?
Oh, good at darts. I'm going to say Evan Caffrey.
No, not at all. What makes you say that?
I don't know. I just feel like he'd be one of those that, like, you wouldn't suspect much, but you'll hit like a random treble 18 and a 20, and you get down to treble 17 and scoring high.
Talking, shafted Evan Caffrey.
No, I feel like Ev would, he'd be kind of like secretly good. But I suppose surely it has to be Conor Kearns. Hand-eye coordination.
Surely Conor Kearns is too intelligent to be rattling away at the dartboard.
Conor Kearns on a match night is taken to giving us random facts, and it's probably the highlight of some of my match nights, because some of the facts don't even sound real.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, let's be honest, that man is reading books. He's not throwing darts.
I'm guaranteeing you now, Conor Kearns has to be good at darts. He's goalkeeper, hand-eye coordination, and skins as well then, and Lorcan Healy. I'm going to say all the goalkeepers.
Lazy. I'd rather reel people out. So it's definitely not Paddy Barrett or Mark Coyle or Cam.
Oh, hold on. Why?
They're too angry. No, they're too angry. You can't.
Garwin Price is very angry.
Yeah, but Ben, no. I could see Paddy Barrett aiming for something, missing the ball altogether, and just running and sticking his head through the thing.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I can see happening. Same with Cam, I just think too angry. He'd be too... You'd get into Cam's head. By all the stories we've been told on this podcast, you'd get into Cam's head too easily. You'd put him off. You'd all pretend to leave a dart in the board. Go, oh, geez, sorry, Cam. Let me grab that out. You just lose the plot. Start punching your head in. It's all about finesse. Finesse and bottle. I'm going to go JJ Lunny. I think that calm coolness he has. That's my hunch. Anyway, you mentioned there about goalkeepers. You reckon you were sticking the two goalkeepers and Skins as front runners. We actually got this question last week and I just didn't get a chance to get around to it. It came in from Alex and he asked, lads, I think this every single week and I just never say it, but is there anything more grim than being a sub goalkeeper? Especially when this question is put together a bit badly, it's a bit of a mouthful. I'm trying to make the most sense of it. Especially when there's somebody like Conor Kearns in nets. It must be so downheartening. That should be disheartening, but look, we'll give the benefit of the doubt. Ben, subkeeper role. I don't think that's a word I'd use.
No, I think it's probably one of the most important roles in football. Like, a strong number two is very, very, very important. God forbid Conor ever did go down with an injury. If you look at Lorcan, you're like, okay, maybe we don't need to panic as much. Lorcan is a very, very good keeper.
So, I'm going to have to call you on saying that the number two is one of the most important roles in football.
Okay, how is it now?
I think that's a bit of a stretch now, I have to be honest.
Okay, go on.
People want us to disagree here more.
Right, go on.
And I do disagree with that.
How is it not important?
I didn't say it's not important. You said it's one of the most important.
In a team? That. Yeah. What's more important in terms of roles?
Now, see, you're going to roles and stuff like that.
Yeah, his role is the number two keeper.
I understand that.
Okay.
But I think in that group, that goalkeeping kind of group, of course, it's unbelievably important. And you have to have a certain type of mentality to be a goalkeeper, full stop. And you just see how important it is, you know, just for geeing people up and they obviously train together. They see so much of each other. But one of the most important roles in football, not for me. And okay, that's not an anti-goalkeeper thing. And I know, and you know, Ben, who's going to accuse me of this in Sligo on Friday.
Here,
and
he's going to have it this a pop. Way. Put it this way. Conor goes down with an injury, God forbid, and Colin McCabe is your backup keeper. How do you feel?
I'd probably leave immediately the stadium.
Why? Because it's important to have a good backup,
but,
is it?
But hang on. Why is the number two goalkeeper more important than the number two or number three in AK striker or the substitute midfielder or the substitute fullback or substitute centre half or assistant manager? Or
did I say the most important or one of the most important?
You said one of the most.
Okay. Well,
right, so right, okay. Who else is that important then?
Sure, you just listed them off.
So he's fifth or sixth in the pecking order, if that's the way you're going with that. And this is not a knock on goalkeepers or sub-goalkeepers or anything.
You just hate goalkeepers.
No, that's not true. If anything, I really love I really love goalkeepers. But anyway, I'm getting away from what the question actually was in the first place. I would not use the term grim. I think it takes a very mentally strong individual to be in that role. A very selfless individual, because you could easily just be a bad fucking influence on everybody and just be a general shitbag. And Larkin Healy is most definitely none of them things. So there are plenty more grim spots to be in than a sub goalkeeper, I can assure you, Alex.
Yeah, you could be briefing the ball, boys.
Oh, fuck off. I didn't write down who asked this, but they actually volunteered themselves to look after the ball boys for the home games in Tolka, would you believe? So yeah, we'll be in touch. Did have another question, lads. Any news on Tyreek? No, as we said, like, I don't have any info that anyone else does have. He's injured. The sooner he's back, the better, I think. But no inside track on that one. And Ben, I think could be time for Richie Rankins. And I'm sitting here sweating now because I'm going to get absolutely hammered. People are going to twist it and say, I hate Larkin Healy. I hate sub goalkeepers. I think goalkeepers are shit. And that's just not what I said. But anyway,
I'm going to clip that bit where you said,
Sorry, before we get to the Richie Rankins, there was one more. Ryan asked, lads, are you happy with the transfer window we've had? Or should there have been one or two more names? I am supremely happy with the transfer window we had. Very happy. Richie Rankin's time. I have a Richie Winter straight away. It's Mark Canham.
Oh, it's not the same one I have.
It's Mark Canham. He was interviewed. He'd done a few interviews today. Richie Winter behaviour, in my opinion. Just reneging on stuff, deflection, all the stuff you don't want to hear, I feel we heard today, so I won't go much further with that one. My Richie Baker for this week, Ben, it's Keith McDerby.
Yeah, you kind of took my one there, but that's okay.
Yeah, Keith got engaged. She, for some reason, said yes to him there on a romantic trip to New York. Ben, what a way to do it, huh? Unbelievable.
Here, all style.
Congratulations to Keith.
Well done to you.
Fantastic stuff.
He did a fair play to him.
He's done his duty.
Yeah. He's done well for himself.
Ben, hit me. Hit me with your Richie Rankins.
I'm going to go for, I know Darren said we can't do this, but I'm going to do it. It's not in relation to playing Sligo. The Richie Winter has to be the Bitterhead Supporter Trust.
Oh, Jesus Christ. How have I dodged them?
The statement about the referee.
Grown men, Ben.
Imagine releasing a statement about as passionate supporters of Sligo Rovers and the League of Ireland, it is difficult to stay silent about the ongoing refereeing issues in our league.
Stop. I can't take any more. Grown men, Ben. Every Tom, Dick and Harry are releasing statements at the moment.
We have a go about referees when they're in the wrong. Absolutely. You should have a go if there needs to be, and words should be said if they need to be said. We're releasing a full statement. I don't know if that's for me. Like, you can have your go on the internet like every other person, but a full statement.
Who was the ref in question, actually?
Rob Hennessy, I think.
Why couldn't they just done what normal people do? Release their statement. We think Rob Hennessy's a bastard and a shite ref. Ends. And just leave it at that. Like, this stuff of an agenda and, lads, these aren't that important. Jesus, the self-importance.
It's not the first time concerns have been raised about Hennessy. Is it not, lads?
I are you talking about, you fucking weapons? Such a shame, but he's not reffing the game on Friday, which I'm disappointed.
For me, I know Darren was like, you can't give his organisations this and that, but I think an exception has to be made there.
Yeah. Not out 100%. I agree with you there. Who was your Richie Baker?
Well, you robbed mine, so we'll give it to good Shelburne man. Shay? Can you give it to Shay?
You give it to whoever you want. It's your ranking.
Shay had a big birthday recently, didn't he?
He did.
He was 80. Look, he served the Reds well. He's paid his dues, and he gets to enjoy the game now, I think, a little bit. So,
lucky bastard.
I think he deserves it for his service to Shelburne.
Imagine just being able to go and enjoy a game on Friday. It'll be an incredible experience when we get there, Ben.
Hopefully we're not 80.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't mind actually enjoying them a bit earlier than that now. But that's it, Ben. I think we're there. I think we've covered everything. We've missed anything. We know Ireland play it. Nobody cares.
Yeah, we... Heimer, whatever his name is.
Yeah, a few people.
Heimer, coughing up phlegm. Fair play to him. Congratulations. Yeah, lovely.
A few people did send messages saying, because the international break was on, what did you make of the Ireland game? I did watch it. It was a lot better than under the previous manager, but it's still shy.
That was hard to get worse under.
Easy now.
Here, you're the one that likes to fight with him, not me.
Easy now. He should have been, if you were to listen to people, he should have been given 10 years to sort out the problems. Results aren't important. Don't mind the results. Go away, will you? Anyway, don't start that. It's going to make me angry.
The incredible sulk over here.
Two games over the weekend. Friday, of course. It is Friday. We are away to Sligo. 7:45 kickoff. You can't make it. It's live on LOI TV. Saturday, we are at home to Piemont. 4 p.m. kickoff in Tolke.
And another 4-0.
Yes, imagine. But same rules apply. If you can't get down, it will be live on LOI TV. Ben, thank you for your time.
A pleasure as always.
And sure, we'll see everyone on Friday.
Up there, Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.